I welcome you to Women's Power Hour podcast. I am Regina Peters-Moore, your host. I'm very happy to come to you with this special Harvesters Ministries Laka podcast. It is specially made for Harvesters Ministry Laka, and our topic is relationships and dating. Relationships and dating. Now, the reason why we are getting into this podcast is because we want to build good foundations for good homes. We want to get it right from the start. We want everybody to get it right, every young person to get it right when it comes to relationships. And we want to put you in the know. That means we don't want to leave you ignorant. We want to put you in the know. We want to bring down the divorce rate in the church, because there is divorce has come into the church, and true Christians are also divorcing. And if we have this right, we have our relationships from the start, how we kick off and what we do and how to understand who we choose to come into our lives, then we can better bring down the divorce rate. Also, the other reason for this particular topic on relationships and dating is because we want to have a healthy living, sanity, free hearts, and free consciences. Because we've learned that through research that most of the people that are sick is due to people that have problems with their spouses. Most of people that are depressed are due to family reasons. Most of the time when people are going through health crisis or health breakdown, it's many times related to their spouses, their families, their relationships, which is very important. So we want to get it right from the start. So to get it right, we're putting together this podcast so that you can be able to quietly listen and trust God to follow step by step as to how you can get it right from the start in the area of relationship and dating. I am Regina Peters-Moore. I'll be right back after this very short break. I welcome you back to Women's Power Hour podcast. I am Regina Peters-Moore. We are looking at relationships and dating. This is a special Kingdom Harvesters Ministry Laka podcast. Now, we want to get into starting a relationship. What should we look at when we want to start a relationship? Now, Jeremiah 16:21 is talking about knowing God's might, knowing God's hand, and knowing the Lord. So the person that wants to get into relationship must know God. He should not be a novice. The person should not be immature in their spiritual work. The person should know God. The person should be saved. The person should have salvation. Salvation coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the first thing is for you to get into a relationship, know God first. Your salvation is very important than your marriage. Your salvation is first. Your salvation is pivotal. Your salvation is key. Your salvation is a priority. Your salvation is a preference. So you have to know God first. You have to know God first before you get into a relationship. Another thing I want to call your attention, relationship is for adults. It's not for boys. It's not for girls. It's for adults. That means you should be over 18 plus before you can start thinking about relationship. You should be 18 plus. You should be somebody who is an adult. Relationship is not for boys. It's for men. It's not for girls. It's for women. So you should be an adult to enter a relationship. So if you're in school and you are under 18, you have no business there. You have no business. And so you are just disturbing your mind. You are going to be focusing on the wrong thing at the wrong time. You are going to be disturbing yourself with what is not for that particular season of your life. So be an adult to get into a relationship. Another thing you have to understand before you get into a relationship, you have to know your purpose in life. Now, Hebrews 10 verse 7 tells us about the volume of the book that is written of you. So he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. That means there is something that is written of you. That is your volume that heaven has of you, your assignment that has been written of you. You have to live it. But then if you don't know it, you can't really live it. And so that is very important. It is key before you go into a relationship. The reason why you need to understand why you are here on earth is so that your partner can be able to understand what you are all about, your assignment is all about, and then they can be able to process it and see if they can be able to go with that, if they can be able to go with you through that, or go with you to that place that you are desiring to go in your assignment or in your vision. So for you, before you start your relationship, understand your purpose, and that is your assignment on earth, what God has called you to do. I remember when I met my husband, the first thing he told me, he said, I'm going to serve God. And I understood perfectly from the start that I'm going to marry a man who will serve God. So I have that clear. It is no surprises. It is no hiding, or it didn't come up later. I have known from the start. So you have to get that information from the start. Know your purpose. Know your passion. Know why you are here, so that you can be able to choose the right person to complement your assignment. Then another thing you need to know before you get into a relationship, you should know what type of person you desire. You must have a desire. You know, the reason why some women don't choose any man is because they think they are late. Maybe you are in your 30s now, or you are going to 35. So anybody that come now, you just take. No, it's not like that. You have to have your standards. And even though you have your own standards, God too has standards for you. And God's standards are good. And one standard that I just want to put before you, this one, in one straight flat board standard, is that God says you must marry a believer. A believer, that means somebody that know God, somebody that believe in the cross, somebody that believe in Jesus Christ, somebody that believes in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior, somebody who is born again. That is God's flat rate, flat standard. So you have to understand that. So that's your first tick when you are trying to choose somebody for your life. Your first tick is a believer. And so you also have to understand that your own desires too, you should scrutinize them. You should scrutinize them so that you have the right desire. Because your own desires, you have to be careful of materialism. Materialism is something, somebody that likes things. You want things. Things are not necessarily like bad, but if you put things as a yardstick to marry somebody, you can miss it. You can marry the wrong person. And there can come a time in your marriage that you will not have things. And then now you are in this marriage because you saw things, or you can get things. And now you are there, money's gone, or something happened and business spoiled, or things went the other way and you are now regretting. So you don't have to get into marriage for things. Watch out for things. Watch out for financial gain. Don't choose somebody because of financial gain. Because anything can happen. Money can go. Money can go and the man is there. Will you still love him if there's no money? So don't go there. Don't be attracted by money. Don't be attracted by money. Money is important. I don't downplay that, man. I don't downplay that. It is important. I don't say go and marry a poor man. No, that's what I'm saying. Or I don't say go and just choose anybody that don't know how to make money. No. I'm talking about don't put finances as your yardstick, as your main yardstick to marry somebody. And be careful of name and fame. Many a times we look at a status of the name of the person. Maybe it's a famous person. Maybe it's a politician, or it's a politician daughter, a politician son, or a big businessman's child or something that has a name in a country or fame, somebody who is famous, maybe a musician or singer or something, somebody that is famous, or a bishop's son, a bishop's daughter, or this and that. You have to be careful because things can change and those names can fade. So if you're attracted because of a name, you'll be shocked if anything happened. Those people that were in Shaka Stevens' time, do you hear about them now? No. So if you marry to them, for your name, for their name, today they are no more in power. So we have to be very be careful when you get attached because of a name or because of fame. You should have good standards. When you are choosing, you should have good standards. And I'll give you some little guidance into good standards. You know, the first part of this podcast is going to tell you how you can choose. All right. So now, if you have these good standards, you watch, you should try to get a man that know God, a man that is spiritual. Don't get a spiritual chicken or somebody who is carnal. Don't go for a carnal man, or don't go for a man that is spiritually low. Go for a giant. Go for an ego. Go for a man who is spiritual. The same thing for a man. Go for a woman who is spiritual. Go for a woman who is not carnal, you know, so that you know that their spiritual roots are strong. You can stand. If you are falling, she will lift you up. If she's falling, you will lift her up, you know. And you have to go for a potential man, or a man who is going somewhere, a man who is vision-minded. A potential man is a man who is going somewhere. Sometimes, right now, you've not seen him as he will be tomorrow. But there is something in him that is taking him somewhere. And he has his eyes on that place. And he's strategizing his life to go to that place. He is a man of focus, or a woman of focus, that is going somewhere. Go for that man. A man with potential. That means he has something. He's going somewhere. There's something in him. He's going. He has a vision in him. And he's going to that place. Sometimes you don't see it in them right now. And that is what blind a lot of ladies. They don't see the potential in the man. They are looking for an already done up man. A man that has everything. So they just want to walk into their house, into the house with their suitcase, and just go in there and meet everything. Meet the house done up. Meet the car. Meet the flat already. They don't want to struggle with you. They don't want to grow with you. They don't want to stand with you when you are going up. They don't want to take the ladder with you, but they just want to meet everything all set. But I'm telling you, that's not bad if you meet your husband all done up. But you will lack the experience. You will lack the education. You will lack the learning curves that you need that to give to other people when you have reached up there. So get a potential man. Then get a man who know how to make money. A man who has a commercial life. A man should have a career or have a business or has an income coming in. Don't get somebody that is a we go manage. You are making a big mistake. You go and suffer there. I know a church in Gambia that they will tell the person that you should be working. You should have at least a room and a pillow. You should not be living in one room. You should have at least a room and a pillow. You should have 2 cups. You should have 2 plates. You should have 2 pots. You should have... You should have a co-pot. They will list for you what you should have in that house. And when you have all those things, that is what they are using to measure you if you are ready to get married. If you are ready to get married. And that is very good. Not that they are putting stress on the man, or they are making the man a bit out of place, or trying to pull him out. No, they're trying to cover that woman. They're trying to help that sister not to go somewhere and suffer. They're trying to protect that sister. They're trying to guide you so that you don't get into where you go and suffer. So get a potential man. Get a man with a commercial life. A man who knows how to make money. A man who knows what to do in his commercial life. Now, one last thing I want to use to close this segment of the podcast is that a person with a great mindset and a positive attitude, that's the kind of person you go for. A person with a great mindset and a great attitude to life. Now, if a person with a wrong mindset, the Bible says, We should renew our mind. Not so in Romans 12:1. Renew your mind. If the person's mind is not renewed, he has the wrong mentality to life, you will suffer with that person because the person has a different outlook to life. He should be wearing the right perspective. He should be wearing the right lenses to life, and that will help you. So if you meet that kind of person and with that good attitude, with the right perspective, with the right attitude to life, then that is a potential spouse. All right, so these are just few guidelines. You can add yours. You can have your own things that you're looking at. These are just very few guidelines that are key that you should also look at. So this is what you look to when you want to get into a relationship. All right, so I'll be right back after this very short break. I welcome you back to Women's Power Hour podcast. I'm Regina Pichesmore, your host. This is a special podcast for Kingdom Harvest Ministries on relationship and dating. And we are moving to the next segment of this podcast, and it's going to talk to us about responsibilities of being in a relationship. There are responsibilities that we should take very serious when we are getting into a relationship. And the first responsibility I want to draw your attention to, that you are responsible to God for your relationship. You are responsible to God. It is God that you are responsible to God. That's why you allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to lead you. You allow Him to guide you into this that you are getting into. So be responsible to God. Allow His standards to play in the relationship. God's standard for you, because His standards are the best. You think that they are too high, they are the best for you. They will guide you, they will protect you, and they will help you to get into the right thing. So be responsible to God. Don't just take it upon yourself that it is your life. No, your times are in His hands. He is the one that orders your steps. He said the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And so He guides you, He leads you in the paths of righteousness because of His namesake. So be responsible to God for the relationship. Another thing you have to be responsible, you have to be responsible to your spiritual leaders for your relationship. Now, you don't get into a relationship without the knowledge of your spiritual leaders. Your pastor should know that you are in a relationship, because as soon as you begin to hide, your hiding speaks volumes about what you are on. Sometimes it is not, in fact, all the time it is not good to hide. Sometimes people hide because they are not sure if this is the right person. They are still thinking, they are still watching, they are still maybe not. And so if you are not sure, you better not do nothing. You wait till you are sure. So don't get into a relationship where you are not sure. You are not sure of the person. And sometimes when people are refusing to let their spiritual leaders know, sometimes there is sin in that relationship. That means they are sleeping with each other and they started doing what they should not be doing. So therefore, they don't want to tell the leadership. And so they are hiding. Because when they tell the leadership can guide. And God can even unveil to the leadership what is happening in the relationship. Yes, God can unveil. Yeah, right now I know God is speaking to some people. So take your relationship to your spiritual leader so that they can guide you. It's not for prognosing. It's not to disturb anything. No, a mature pastor don't choose for people. A mature pastor guides. A mature man of God helps you to make the right decision, but you have to decide, because you are the one that is going to stay in that house. It's not your pastor. But for spiritual guidance, and put somebody as an oversight over your relationship, you need your spiritual leader. You need to let your spiritual leader know about your relationship. Another responsibility you have is to each other, the two of you that are in the relationship. You need to be responsible to each other for your spiritual growth. Yeah, when you get into a relationship, your spiritual life should not go down. Your spiritual life should shoot up, because you are now going to connect with another person that will build you up. So if your partner don't build you up and your husband don't build you up, then there are some problems. There are some issues. You have to be built up. So you have to be responsible. I should see that you grow. You should see that I grow. You should not go down. And you should see me that I should not go down. We are responsible to each other. And we are responsible to each other in our career growth. whatever you meet your spouse doing or your partner doing, sorry, somebody that you are dating, whatever that person is doing, the person must grow in it. The person must grow. The person must not go down. Your relationship should not bring their career down. It should make it blossom. It should make it go with leaps and bounds. So you are responsible. Sometimes when the one partner is growing and the other one is not growing, the growth is going to be like this. The man is up, the woman is down, and the woman is up, the man is down. Sometimes the man go to college and the woman didn't go to college. Or the woman has her master's and the man has WAEC, you know. Or the woman has her first degree, the woman has a certificate in something. So everybody have to grow, they must grow. In my marriage, everything that we do it together. When we want to go to Bible school, we go to Bible school together. Anytime I want to pursue a course, we pursue it together so that we grow together. And whatsoever we are growing in, it will affect the other person. And whatsoever the other person is growing in will affect the other person. And then when somebody wants to grow, we support that person. I mean, somebody wants to add education. Don't be jealous of your spouse if your spouse is going up. No, you have to, you are responsible to see that your spouse grow with leaps and bounds, grow in business or grow in ministry. Your spouse should have a growth plan. That's why you are responsible. When you get into a relationship, you are responsible. Be responsible for your spiritual growth, your career path, your business growth, or your ministry growth. Whatever you found that person doing, that person must blossom in it. It should not go down, you know. The next thing I want to talk about is about becoming a wife material, but I don't want to dive in it in this podcast. I want to send you to our website, www.mentoringforgreatness.com. There is a segment there in that website that will teach you how to become a wife material. And this is going straight to the singles, preparing you for marriage. Because I'm not here to prepare you for marriage. I'm here to talk about relationship and dating. So if I spend time in that, we will not have much time to talk about dating. So I want to look at dating because dating is important today to listen to. So go to that website and mentoringforgreatness.com, and you get loads of things that will prepare a woman for a wife material. And a man too, you need to prepare yourself. There is a podcast on YouTube that is Boaz or Bozo, done by Pastor Matthew Ashimolowo. Boaz or Bozo, something like that. And it will teach you a man how you will be ready for your route. Or for your own spouse. So go to that podcast or go to the website and learn how to become a wife material, because it's very key to preparing yourself for a relationship. All right, so stay put and I'll be right back with dating after the short break. I welcome you back to Women's Power Hour podcast. I am Regina Peters-Moore, your host. This is a special podcast for Kingdom Harvesters Ministry, LACA, and it is talking about relationship and dating. And this time we want to move forward into dating proper. Now, what is dating? I want to put it down in simple terms. This is not like a dictionary definition, but it's just an explanatory definition of dating. He said dating is the time when you get to know someone if he or she can be your potential spouse. It's a time that you get to know someone to know if he or she can be your potential spouse. So that it is a time in your life where you get to know someone. Now, dating is the time you ask questions. Yes. It's the time you probe into somebody's life. It's the time you dig into somebody's life. It's the time you open up if you are interested. Because you can't be telling when you are not interested. You can't be answering questions if you are not interested. So if you are interested, this is the time you dig out from that person. You try to probe into that person. And you try to do your due diligence in knowing the particular person you are trying to yoke your life with. You have to do your due diligence. Due diligence is very important. What do I mean by that? It's about finding out about that person. It's about finding out about his family, the family background. Where was he raised? Where is he coming from? You should try to know this person's family background. Try to know the job, or if he's in ministry. Try to know if he's a business person. Try to know if he has a vision. And you have to look into that person's life. You probe into that person's life. So dating is the time you probe. Dating is the time you ask questions. Dating is the time you dig. Dating is the time you do your due diligence before you can assess to see if this person is your potential spouse. Now, there are things that you should not do during dating. I want to underline. For a child of God, I don't talk about people out there in the world, but for the child of God that is following Jesus, that has the mark of the name of the Lord, that is carrying the word of God as his or a yardstick, that person needs to understand what he or she should not do during dating. Because many times they don't know what to do or what not to do in dating. Then it becomes a serious issue and the datings go carnal. And by the time you think they are in bed doing all sorts. First, do not have sex. Yes, I put in number one so that you know. Do not have sex. Sex is not the tester for the right spouse. You don't try out. You don't try somebody out. They are not cars or they are not clothes. This is a human being. This is a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Don't throw that all important part of you like that. Don't throw. You know, when you just treat sex cheap, you give your sex out cheap, you're going to have soul ties. And soul ties are very deep. They are deeper than you don't understand what you are getting into. They are very deep. It's a spiritual thing that you have tied yourself. When you get into sex to somebody that you are not married to, you are going to tie yourself spiritually to that person. And spirits from that person are going to attach to you. Yes. Things that that person is carrying is going to pass it on to you through sex. There's some spiritual thing that takes place when you have sex with somebody that you're not married to. So be careful. Dating is not a time to have sex. You can go and carry what you don't want. You can go and just put yourself in a worse position than you getting into that person's life. So because you go and get sex, you can be pregnant, you can go and carry STDs, or you can go and carry HIV, AIDS. You can go and get yourself into a mess. Don't have sex during dating. Dating is not the time for sex. Dating is a time to know that person, a time to probe into that person's life, a time to dig into that person's background. It's a time for your due diligence. Don't have sex. Now, another thing you must watch out when you are dating is do not double date. What I mean by that double date is about dating X, dating Y, dating Francis, dating Mohammed, dating Joshua, dating Tuwaku. No. You have to date one. The reason why you need to date one, because a double-minded person will be unstable in his ways. You'll be confused. And it is not good for you. Go to James 1:8 and James 4:8. They will tell you about double dating. They'll tell you, yes, what a double-minded person looks like. You know, it's like you put your face in the mirror and when you get there, you forget how you look like. A double-minded person. Because if you double date, you'll be confused. You will not know who to choose. So take one person at a time. And during dating, don't start giving expensive gifts. Yes, don't start giving expensive, buying flamboyant, expensive gifts. Or you go and buy a car for the person you are dating. You just meet yesterday. You are trying to know this person. You go and buy a car. What are you trying to do? Yeah, that car or that expensive gift can cloud their judgment. Don't start buying expensive things during dating. Don't start paying house rent for the person, hospital bills, school fees, debts. Or during dating, you are doing this big responsibilities. That's not your business. They should be paying their bills before you came. No, you should not be the. If that man was not there or that woman was not there, would that house rent not be paid? No, as soon as you get into somebody's life and you start asking for house rent, my mother is sick, my this is that, you are just spoiling the whole thing. The person will just run away from you because you are looking for somebody to meet your needs. You are not really looking for a spouse. You are looking for somebody to meet your needs and your problems, to solve your problems. So during dating, don't start doing all this, paying this, all this sort of things. Don't make heavy investments together during dating. That's not the time you start doing business together. That's not the time you take a shop together or go and do joint account together. No, dating is not the time for that. Don't start doing or putting money down for a house together. No, it's too early. Don't go and do that. You are putting the cart before the horse. Don't do that. During dating is not the time to do big investment. During dating is not the time to have joint account. During dating is not the time to be giving big and expensive gifts. The reason is because if it didn't work down the line, you're going to be regretting. If it didn't work down the line, you are going to hate yourself for all this that you have done. And then you will find it difficult to get out because you have put in your money, you have done X, Y, Z for that person, and now you don't want to leave. You are finding it difficult to leave because you have done this, that, and that. And it is not good. So don't be doing big investments. Don't be doing joint accounts. Don't be doing heavy things during dating. Dating is not the time for that. Dating is a time that you know this person. You get to know the person's background. You get to do your due diligence. You get to understand the person you are getting married to. You get to spend time with the person to know the person. That is dating. Dating time. Another thing that you don't have to do during dating is to start buying Ashobi and wearing the same clothes together during dating. No, keep the Ashobi for after the wedding. Keep it. During dating, don't be wearing Ashobi and be going up and down. You are dating. You are just dating. You are just trying to know the person. You're just trying to understand this person if this is a potential spouse. So don't go and be wearing the same clothes, the same Ashobi, and the same this and that. No, it is not the time for that. Now, during dating, it's not time to do heavy petting, deep kissing during that time, because petting leads to sex. That is the doorway to sex. It's a foreplay to sex. So if you are dating and you are doing petting, you are doing deep kissing, you are walking the road to trouble. You are walking on the highway to Allah because you are going to set fire. And you are passing a place where you will not be able to come back because you end up having sex. You end up sleeping with the other person. And so because you are joking with what you might not want to do. So that's not the time to do all this heavy petting and all this deep kissing and all of that. It is not at that time. It is dating. Dating is to know the person. Oh, not to begin for kiss. Not to begin for do other things that are not appropriate. Now, during dating is not the time to begin to show your friends, introduce, to do like formal introduction to your friends or to your family, your F&F. No. Dating is not the time to do introduction to your family, to your friends, to your... No. You are trying to know this person first. This is a time to know. A time for your due diligence, a time to probe, a time to know if this is the person I would like to spend the rest of my life with. If this is the person I would like to move further with into courtship. If this is the right person for me, I'm looking into this person's life to see if I can be the person that will be with him in the future. So be careful what you do in dating. Be careful what you do in dating. Alright? Now, I'll be right back after this very short break. I want to tell you a little bit about where to go during dating and the questions you need to ask your spouse or your potential spouse during dating. I'll be right back after the short break. I welcome you to Women's Power Podcast. I am Regina Petersmore, your host. This is a special podcast for Kingdom Harvest Ministries, LACA, and that is talking about relationships and dating. And we're still looking at dating. Now, where do we go for dates? Where do we go for dates? Because in Africa, it's really, really a tight one. And you know, you don't always have the right places to go. But you know, in Creole, we say, "Oh, tight day, fall mostly egg." No, so. Yeah, no matter how it looks like in our country, there is a way you can go to safe places for dates. Now, you choose places that will not lead you to sin. Yeah. Don't go to overly private places or dark places. You know, start going on dates in the night in dark places. You are setting yourself up for problems. Don't go to overly private places. That means a place that is not, and people can't see you easily, or people can't, people take time to go to that part of the house or to that part of the area. You people don't go there. So you just stay in that overly private place. You are setting yourself up for trouble. So don't go to an overly private place. Many a times as young people, group dating is really better and safer. That means the 2, 3, 4 of you can go together, you know, can go together to a program or to a place where you all can sit, you all can talk. And if you can manage that, group dating is better. You can go to a place where all of you can be there. You go and eat out, or you go for watch a movie, or you go to a particular place, a picnic or a day out. All of you go to a day out or to the beach or to an outing. And all of you can talk. All of you can spend time, because it is safer when you have a group dating. And there are lots of places around that you can go to, even though our country is not like that much of things happening that will help you to enjoy dates. You can go for beach walks. You can go to concerts. I mean, decent Christian concerts. You can go to programs. There are nice programs that they are making for youth camps or youth things that you can be able to go for a date. Or you can go and eat out for ice cream. Or you can go and have a drink or somewhere. You don't have to be expensive. You can go for a walk. You can go and look at nature. You can go and just enjoy the sunset, or you just enjoy the rocks. There are lovely rocks near the beach. You can just go and sit and enjoy the sea, and you can talk there and talk and talk and talk and know one another. Now, these are some questions I would like to bring your attention that you should ask, because Proverbs 16:16 is talking about knowledge. You have to have knowledge. You don't have to be ignorant. You have to have knowledge about this person. So you can ask, tell me about yourself. Yeah, tell me about yourself. Where did you grow up? Try to know where this person grew up. Try to know much about the person. With whom were you raised, or who raised you? Is it your mother, a single mother, or your father? Or were you raised by both parents? Were you raised by your grandma? Were you raised by a foster parent? Or were you in an orphanage? I have to know the background of the person. How was that person raised? Where did you get saved? That means you have to get into their salvation. That is a very important corner. Where did you get saved? When did you get saved? Give me your salvation testimony. How come? How was your past life? And tell me a little bit about your yesterday and when Jesus came into your life and what happened. What are the changes? How did it happen? You need to know that salvation and testimony will help you to know if he's saved. Because you have to know if he's truly saved. Because some people are coming into your life they come to church for you, not for Jesus. They attend the program for you, not for Jesus. But if God draw them to the program for you and they meet Jesus, well, praise God. But sometimes they don't pay attention to Jesus when they come. They pay attention to you. It's you they want. It is you, not actually Jesus. So get to know about his salvation. And do you have children? Ask, do you have children, and how many? If you can manage that, if you don't mind him having children, or you don't want a man that already have children, or a woman that already have children, you have to find out. Some people don't even know till they get married, and it's after the wedding that time they have to find out that this person has children, not even one child, not even two. they have children, and they didn't tell. But they didn't tell because you didn't ask. You have to ask. I was listening to a couple of things, and they have this part of building your relationship. It say, ask, don't assume. Don't assume. Always ask. When you ask, it puts you in the know. It removes you from ignorance. So ask. You say, what are your future plans? You have to know where it's getting into. You have to know where it's going. If it is somewhere you want to go, or if it's something you want to do in the future. Maybe it has some things. Say, I don't want to be in this country the next 5 years. I'm planning to leave. Do you want to go somewhere? If you don't want to go somewhere, well, the dating can end there because you are not, that's not your plan. I say, well, I'll have to go into ministry. I want to serve God. Maybe you don't want to marry a pastor. That's not your own level of Christianity. You want to be church member, full stop. You have to watch. What are your future plans? What is your vision? That man should have a vision. That woman should have a vision. It's not when you come to the marriage home that you come and make find a vision. But you should bring this vision into the marriage so that your spouse can help you to accomplish that vision. Woman, you are helpmate. The man, I call my husband my destiny helper. And everything that I want to do, he stands with me. He sees that I do them. Anything that God puts in my hand to do, he sees that I do them. And anything he wants to do, and I have opportunity to help him, and I have the way to help him, I should be there for him. I should be there to see that that happens for him. That is what it looks like, vision. You come into the place with a vision. You ask him, do you have a vision? Do you work presently? You have to be sure if he's jobless or not working or an idler or not doing nothing. Even a volunteer, he's not even volunteering anywhere or learning a trade somewhere, or he's not doing nothing. You have to know, are you working? Ask. If not, you're going into courtship with a jobless person. You have to be sure that person is finding money, is making income, because you need income to survive. You need income to build your home. You need income to raise children. You need income seriously. You don't downplay money when you are planning to marry somebody. It's very important. Don't downplay money. So, what is your job? Or what type of job are you doing? You have to appreciate what the person is doing. Because the type of job is very important. If you don't appreciate, maybe the person works in the mortuary. They do dead bodies. Maybe that's not what you want. Or you will mind. Sometimes some people don't mind. So you have to know first. You don't hide your job. You say, well, me, I the driver, Malanke. Me, na this and that. Yes. Me, I the tot, na market. Yes, nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. That person is not idle. He's doing something. That is their starting point. At least he's doing something. You see. So you have to know if the person is doing something. What job? And if you appreciate that job, what does the job entail? Try to know. How is your family like? Try to know if they are quarrelsome family, or they are Christian family, or they are Muslim family, or they are marabu, or they are herbalist, or they are pastors, or they are wild people, or they are quarrelsome people. You have to try to know where you are getting into, so that you can know where you are putting your foot, so that you don't get into muddy waters, and now you want to wash your foot is now dirty. So, what is your family like? Will you be going into ministry so that it will not be a surprise? Do you have any illness prevalent in your family? Illness prevalent in your family. That means you want to know if there is a particular illness that is running through your family line. Maybe some people are dying of stroke all the time. Or some people have diabetes. Or some people have HIV. Whatever. You have to know. You have to know. You have to know. If they have that kind of sickness and you are okay to stand with him in that, no problem. But they have a particular wind of attacks, epilepsy or whatever, if you are okay, you want to stand with him in that, fine. But if you know you cannot, it's better to back out at that time. So if you ask if there's a prevalent illness, you have to ask if there's any issue of mental problem, madness in the family. Yes, you have to ask if they are. Yeah, because if you get into that and you start seeing it, you're like, do you know? So you have to find out if that is prevalent in the family. Do you like children? Not everybody wants to have children. Yeah, some people don't want children. So you have to settle that from the beginning. Do you like children? How many do you want, or you don't want children? You have to understand that from the start about children. How many? You have to know how many. Then what is your idea about sex before marriage? So that you will know. If you don't get his opinion about sex before marriage. There are some opinions that you need to ask. Bible doctrines. What does he believe? His belief system. You know, because some people have the wrong opinion. And you know how to get into trouble to try to correct that. Or maybe you don't want to even change that mentality. That is his mentality. He don't see sex as a bad thing before marriage. And he's not, that is not a problem for him. So you have to understand, if that's what you want to get into, he'll be asking you for sex. And if you don't want to do it, then don't get into it. You see? So you have to understand that if you have any problem with impotency in the family, because some people are impotent and they will not say anything and they marry somebody. Yeah, they get into marriage impotent. And go and frustrate the other partner and give the partner unnecessary prayer wahala and starting praying and going into health wahala because he didn't tell the person in the first place. Because if the person knew, the person will know he has an informed choice to go into it or not to go into it. So you have to watch, you see. And you ask the person, when do you fast? So that you can know if he's a spiritual man or if he prays. He has to have a calendar for fasting and prayer so that you can understand if this person fasts or this person prays. Alright? So, these are some of the questions you need to ask before you get into the natural flow of things, because there is dating, there is courtship, and there is marriage. There is dating, there is courtship, and there is marriage. So, I want to tell you the purpose of all of this, but I'll be right back after this very short break to close this podcast. Hi, welcome back to Women's Power Hour podcast. I am Regina Petersmore, your host, and this is a special podcast for Kingdom Harvest Ministries Laka on dating and relationship, or relationship and dating, anyhow you want to put it. So now we want to close the podcast by looking at the purpose of dating. Why all this trouble? Why going through all this? Because 1 Corinthians 14:20 is telling us about maturity, getting away from childishness into maturity, to get away from ignorance and become a man, get away from childishness and become a woman. So if you want to become a woman, you want to get away from childishness, you have to get away from being ignorant. Now, the first reason for a date is because you want to get yourself away from being ignorant of the other person. You are getting to know that person. So ignorance, you are going to wipe away ignorance when you date. But when you don't date, you don't spend time to know, you don't get to know, then you are going to be ignorant of some things concerning that person. And you will get into marriage. If you get into marriage with that person, many things will be unveiled to you. You know, normally when I was courting my husband, we used to talk and talk and talk. I would ask him more questions because we are not from the same country. We are not the same tribe. We are different. What brings us together, what makes us the same, is Jesus Christ. The Bible is our yardstick. So the Bible is what was in the in-between us, not the Yoruba culture or the Creole culture or the Nigeria style or the Saloon style. No, it was Jesus. It was the Bible. So in those days, I will ask him a lot about his culture. I will ask him a lot about his family. And he will tell me about everybody. Everybody would tell me about. So I even know the family before I even met them. I even know them one by one, their names, their character, their person, their personality, long before I met them. You see, so dating is a time you get away from ignorance. So the purpose of dating is for you to get away from ignorance. It's for you to uncover yourself to the other person, so that, or the other person, you unveil the other person. Either you uncover yourself or you unveil the other person. What do I mean? You open up. The reason why you are dating is to open up. The reason why you are dating is to uncover the other person so that you can know what you are getting. You can know what you are getting into. Uncover in the sense that probing and digging, as I said before. Another reason why you are going to date or you date is to see that the kind of person you want to get into, you want to see. You want to see the lifestyle, the way. And it's also to do your due diligence. Your due diligence is very important. That means finding out about this person and knowing the person physically, mentally, emotionally, how he behaves during when he's angry, what happened, is he temper, full of temper, does he flare up so easily? you have to know all of that so that you can know how to handle them, know how to manage those. That's part of the person. And also, you know, you have to understand what is in the other person's world so that you can know if this is what you desire. Sometimes what they bring to you is different from what is in their world. And when you get closer to them and you go to peep and to see what is in their world, you might not like it. So it's the time of dating will help you to see into the other world of the other person. So, above all, as I round up, I want to use this to close. Above all, so that you can ask more questions, something that I've not covered, you have to be prayerful when you date. Ask God to direct your life. It is God that leads, God that directs. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So tell the Lord to order your steps, even in dating. Ask God to uncover any hidden thing about this person. Maybe he's hiding some things from you. You need to know everything. You need to know, even if it's not 100%, at least know 90-something percent about the person. You have to ask the Lord to uncover any hidden agenda. And you have to ask the Holy Spirit to unveil the person. The Holy Spirit, Bible says, the Holy Spirit knows all the inward part of the belly. The Holy Spirit knows everything he can tell you. If you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he can tell you many things. He can tell you many things. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can get you into that person's life. He can let you know what is happening in that person's life. Yes, what he's doing, even things that he's doing that is hiding from you, the Holy Spirit can unveil it. The Holy Spirit can show you. So get a relationship with the Holy Spirit during dating. And not only for dating, for your life. Get a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then you have to fast about it. Yes, when you are dating, fast. Seriously. Because don't take it lightly. Because this leads to other things, and it leads to other things, and it leads to other things. Dating leads to courtship, and courtship leads to marriage. So during dating, fast and pray. I say, God, I want to know so that I will not miss it. So get it right from God. Get it right from God. Now, I want to give you this few watch outs as I'm wrapping up now. Watch out. Now, watch out for the peace of God. Bible says the peace of God which passeth all understanding should keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, you should be at peace concerning that person you are dating. You should not be worried. You should not be in a frenzy about it. You should not be in that place of concern or overly concerned. You should not be in that place that you can't sleep, you think, you worry, you don't trust, you are in a place of dicey, you are not sure. No, you should have peace with God. You should have peace with God. And you should be joyful to introduce that person when the time to introduce them. You should be joyful to introduce them to your F&F, your family and friends. You should be joyful to introduce them. Then you should watch out so that you should like what they are doing. Watch out. Make sure you like what they are doing. Because if you find out what they are doing and you are not happy, it's better to back out. You should be happy with what your spouse is doing. Then watch out that you are not going in for materialism. Watch out that you don't go in. I think it's an emphasis. I mentioned it earlier. And watch out that you are not going in for fame and name. I mentioned it earlier. So let me wrap up here and put the mic down. Talked a lot now. I want you people to ask questions. All right, so send your questions to my WhatsApp page, 079-22-5740, and I'll be glad to answer you. So that's how I wrap up this podcast, and I trust God. I want to pray for you that I trust the Lord that you will have the right partner and you will not miss it when it comes to relationships and marriage. God bless you. I am Regina Petersmore. Till I see you again, continue to listen to Women's Power Hour podcast and you will grow.